I really got the feeling this week as I was refreshing myself on the study I did my last sabbatical on the ear of God, as we've been studying God's anatomy, that God is just really pleased with us pausing and taking such a detailed look at Him. That we would pause and really reflect on different parts of Him, different aspects of Him. There's no way to contain all of God in any one lesson or image or statement. I mean, it's one of the reasons God said, don't make any images of me. It's an impossible job. You could never accomplish it. And you'll end up worshiping some little detail about me that you like rather than all of me. But I felt like God was just really pleased with us doing this, looking at God's anatomy. And I was almost moved to tears last night as I was putting the final kind of thoughts together about His ear, that He listens. In Daniel 9, it says, "We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act." It is a great mercy of God that He turns His ear our way. It is a great mercy. It's probably the most amazing thing last night that kind of almost brought me to tears last night is that He does listen to us at all. I mean, God is portrayed in Scripture as a very good listener. And that's amazing to me because He doesn't have to be. Of all of us, He does not have to be a good listener to get every single little detail and point and nuance of us. He knows everything you have said, everything that you are saying, everything that you will say. And He knows all of that, like, right now, all the time. And He will know that forever. If there's anyone who doesn't need to listen, who doesn't need an ear, it's God. He knows the words you're speaking before you form them on your lips, even when they're addressed to Him. And yet God wants you to form them on your lips. And He turns His ear to you. And He listens anyway. It's very profound if you stop and think about it. That God would turn His attention to you, to your words that He already knows. He listens to you pray. He listens to you cry. He listens to your praise. He gives His undivided attention, and it's very deep if you stop and think about it, that God would give us such dignity. I don't know how many times Carrie is reporting to me something that I've already heard. Right? I mean, I've already heard that. So I quit. What do I do, Carrie? I say, yeah, I know. Yep, I know. Got it. Yeah. And then I'll finish it for her if I need to prove that I know. Why? Why do I do that? Well, it's because It's because I don't want to waste the time it takes to hear that again. Well, God could do that all the time. He could do that every single one of your prayers and be right about it. Because He already knows. Yeah, yep, Dwayne, I know, got that. Yep, didn't even say it back to you, so you know I know. Yeah, but He doesn't. God listens. That really, I guess I started thinking through my life of who have I had in my life that I have felt like really has listened to me, like a human being. And when you put the standards up to this kind of thinking that I'm trying to here, I'm talking about a listener who sits with you for the purpose of hearing you. They might understand some of it. That's great, but that's not the purpose. They might get something from what you're saying and use it and benefit from it. And that's great, but that's not the purpose. I'm talking about someone who sits with you to listen to you. And that's it. There's like this, I start thinking about these people, and it's a short list, really, and I probably have a longer one than most. of people who have stopped and taken the time to listen to me for me. Just for me. These people create something, like they create a space for me when they do that. A space where I can discover, a space where I can feel, I don't know, I feel worthwhile. I don't know that anyone can feel more valued than when someone else sits down and truly pays attention to them, for them. This doesn't count, you know, y'all. Although I get a lot from you listening to me here, most of you don't come to church to listen to me. You come for because you're after something with God. And I hope it's beneficial to you, and I know it's beneficial to me to do this, but that's not the kind of listening I'm talking about here. You know what I'm saying? There's a zone kind of created between someone who is listening and someone who is sharing, being listened to. A place of transformation. I don't know that I have healed more than when I've been in the presence of people who have deeply listened to me. I don't know that I have discovered more about myself than when I've been in the presence of people who have deeply listened to me. So I started trying to think, who are those people I've had that experience with? And even if it was just once, and for most people that I could remember, it was just once that they gave me that space. And it just, I guess it brought me to tears, because I'm that little zone that those sweet people gave to me is something that God is ready and able and willing and has the time to give to me all the time, without fail. And He's eager to do so. I don't know any family, even including my own, that I could characterize. They are a listening family. They listen. Matter of fact, a lot of the people on my list, you have to go outside your family to find them, you know, because we're too busy. We're too busy being a family to give that kind of space to each other. There's a gazillion dollar industry built on paying people to listen to you for your benefit. We need it, and God has it. Good listeners, it just came to me. They value people's hearts, at least for that moment. They value people's hearts more than anything else in the world. That's what a good listener is. And that's what it means that God has an ear. He values your heart more than anything else in the world. That He even describes Himself as having an ear means that He is designed to hear. So today I want to kind of do something a little different. I want to lead you into several little prayer times, spattered with a little bit of teaching about God's ear. So let me lead us first, and then I'll call you to some silent prayer just where you are. Let's bow. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You that You listen when you don't have to. That right now, You could form words a lot better than the ones I am about to in this prayer. And yet You give me Your full attention. You give us Your attention. And when I reflect on how important a role people, mere people, have been in my life to my personal growth, when I find a precious soul who gives me their attention, they're fully present and they're listening to me, and even through me, they're listening through my words, that's when I feel like I have dignity, like I'm worth something, I'm loved. It's when I discover the most about myself. It's when I transform. And then I think of how eager You are to constantly give me that. How ignorant and stupid am I that I ever miss a prayer time with You. God, thank You. Teach us today and hear us today, God. Hear what we're saying and hear what we're not. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So He has these very eager ears. This is a regular marriage counseling problem. Anyone that's struggling in their marriage, usually they will complain that there's no communication. Well, God is sitting up on His side of this relationship spiritually, this marriage with His church. And when there's something that's not healthy in this marriage between God and His bride, the church, it's usually a communication problem. He sits there eager. He has got eager ears, we learn in Scripture. And most spiritual problems can be tracked back to this same, there's no communication thing going on as well. Have you ever heard of the term, well, of course you have, long-distance relationship? You know, they're trying to have a long-distance relationship. I remember a couple of students, a senior and a sophomore, that just were very mature for their age in spiritual things, in Christ, with relationships. Just a powerful couple. But they were already talking marriage, but he was going off to college. He was going off to college in another state. And they looked at each other and said, they're wise enough to discern, we're young. We think we've got marriage in our sights, but we might not actually survive that. What do we want to do? And so they decided to give it a shot, and they had looked ahead to a 2-year long-term relationship, long-distance relationship. Why do we even mention that? Why is that even something worthwhile, significant to point out that they are having a long-distance relationship? You know why? Because it's so hard to stay in relationship, to stay in communication when you're not around each other, when your ears aren't present to each other. I remember them. They were about a year into it, and boy, they'd gone through it. But they survived. And if you asked them today, how'd you survive that long-distance relationship? One of the first things that come out of their mouth would be, well, we talked pretty much every day, sometimes more than once. Why? Why is that what they point to? We talked pretty much every day, sometimes more than once. Because we all know inherently that in a long-distance relationship where communication is tough, it is difficult to keep the relationship alive and healthy. It could easily become dry. There's also a danger that someone who's nearer to me, who I have their ear more readily accessible, might start meeting my needs rather than the person who's a long way away. This is the same in our relationship with God. If there's no communication with God, if we consider Him like He's not attentive to us, we don't have His ear, and there's no communication going on, and we're trying to maintain a long distance relationship, how easy is it for something else to get your attention, to come in and your relationship with God to go dry? That's not any issue on His side of the equation. That is all ours, because He is eager, and Scripture even says He is near. He wants a close relationship. Have you ever felt the strong need to hear from someone you loved? I've got some friends here with sons or daughters, for example, in the military, and they're on assignment and they can't have contact and they ache. I know it's not possible, but boy, I sure do need to hear from them. You ever had that feeling about anybody? What do you think God feels towards His beloved? Towards those that He loves so much that He sent His Son to die for Him so that He could hear us, even in our imperfections. Yeah, He longs to hear with us. I want us to pray here for a minute. And I just want this single thing. No matter how much you pray, I want you to pray now, knowing that God's going to hear you. And I want you to apologize for Him. However this comes out for you best, apologize to Him for not calling more often. Repent for how little you fill His ear quite intentionally with your attention when He so constantly has it available to you. Maybe some of you have profoundly mature prayer lives. And it's not that you will be the ones, ironically, will probably be the ones apologizing the greatest, because you know it's the most productive time you have. It's the most powerful time you have. It's one of the most direct expressions of your relationship to God that you have. So wherever you're at, let's just take a minute and let's just all sing into God's ear with our prayers. Sorrow for how little we take advantage of what He's so eager to give us. Lord, we do not make our requests of You because we are righteous, but because of Your great mercy. Oh Lord, listen. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hear and act. Amen. Scripture portrays God as particularly eager to listen to certain people. I know that seems strange, because it's true that when James says God does not show favoritism, and that's true in the most profound global sense, but in terms of His ear, in terms of the kind of prayers or people He listens to, there's certain people He's particularly eager to hear from. And maybe a better way to say that, rather than certain people who have found a certain truth about themselves. And when they pray from that particular truth about themselves, that's what triggers His ear the most profoundly. We see that the Psalms mention that it's the afflicted that He particularly pays attention to. Psalms 10:17 says, "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and You listen to their cry." Talks about the needy in more places than one, but in Psalm 72 He says, "For He will deliver the needy who cry out, who have no one to help." It talks specifically in Exodus about those who've been taken advantage of wrongly. It says, "Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to Me, I will certainly hear their cry." He says it in kind of the a veil of a warning to those of us who are trying to follow His law. But He says He hears those who've been taken advantage of. In Psalm 34, it says that it's the righteous that He listens to too. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. And I think there's a neat connection here between the last two. Those who've been taken advantage of. What do when we get taken advantage of usually? Even as Christians, we fight back. We get justice. We do it ourselves, don't we? We're Americans. We got rights. Well, I think the righteous don't do that. I think the righteous are like Christ and take the affliction and just say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And has complete faith that God will take care of them and them. I think there's a connection there. That it's those that are humble that are righteous. And because it does say the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. So I want us to pray again here with this kind of as a guide. Some of you in there are going, "Well, I'm not that afflicted. I got it pretty good." And so that's why I said it might be better to say it's not certain people that He's listening to. It's us when we find our place of affliction, which we all have. When we find our place of woundedness, which we all have, even if it's elusive to us. It's not talking about being a complainer. It's not talking about that. It's just talking about realizing that this world is fallen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And no one gets through this life unwounded. And it's from that place of need, that place of humility, that's when He's most eager to hear you. So I want you to go to that place. For some of you, this is going to be easier than others. Some of you just need to pray, God, where is my place? This would be an extremely good gift for God to give you. Where is my place of woundedness? Because it is from that place that you can really trigger His ear, according to Scripture. But for some of you, you know it. You know your place of woundedness. Mine, one way I can say mine is, I am always petrified that I'm not good enough for whatever I'm doing. Just constantly. That is come from a deep wound that I could get into another time. But it is from that place that I go to God and I feel His attention. So let's pray here for a minute. Just bow your head. Let's pray from that place of neediness. Oh Lord, listen. We do not make these requests of You because we're righteous, but because of Your great mercy. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hear and act. Amen. One more aspect of God's ears that I'd be completely negligent if I didn't point it out, even though it seems paradoxical to what I'm saying, that God's ear is eager. He's always listening. He hears everything all the time. But Scripture speaks of God's deaf ear as well. That there are certain people God does not want to hear from or cannot hear from. Maybe a better way to say that again is there are certain attitudes that people have identified themselves with, certain strategies for life that they've decided upon that aren't God's, that God turns a deaf ear to those people. Scripture says that it's the arrogant. In Deuteronomy it says, "So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance you marched up into the hill country. The Amorites beat you. You came back and wept before the Lord, but He paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you." The arrogant. Now I can tell you, this is still his deaf ear. Before I go on here, it's a source of His love. It's just that our arrogance, God loves us so much, He knows that our arrogance needs addressing way more than we need His ear. And it is in His turning His deaf ear to us in this instance that He is most blessing us with His ear. He knows how deadly our arrogance is. It says the uncompassionate. This one's tough. In Proverbs 21:13, it says, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered." Wow. Make you think twice when you see a need and decide not to meet it for whatever good reason. In Hosea, he talks about the erratic or the flighty, those who worship God sometimes when it suits them, but follows other gods when it suits them there. He talks about Israel or Ephraim. It says, "Ephraim is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless, now calling to Egypt, now turning to Assyria. Destruction to them because they rebelled against me. I long to redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry out to me from their hearts, but wail upon their beds. They gather together for grain and new wine, but turn away from me. I train them and strengthen them, but they plot evil against me. They do not turn to the Most High." Oh, there are those that sometimes we depend on the system that we have here in America. Sometimes we depend on some sense of self fulfillment or self strategy that we're going to use. Sometimes when it's the last possible effort, we'll go to God. He can't. He turns a deaf ear to that. He can't listen to that. He wants us for our good to have steadfastness with Him. That's what He's after. And then Isaiah 59 really sums it up. He just says it's our sins that sometimes block Him from being able to hear us. It says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Let's pray for a minute. And this time I want it to be a real, some specific prayer of repentance. Or maybe, God, shine the light on what flightiness do I have that I'm not aware of? Where am I depending on other things besides You, other people more than You, other systems or gods more than You? Where am I not hearing? Where am I turning a deaf ear to the needy around me? And that's blocking my prayer. Where am I sinning? Let's pray and confess in that way. Because of Your great mercy, God, we cry out, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. Amen. One last image of God's ear that I want to leave with you that I hope makes an impact. It's not one that I have a specific verse for. It just came to me from several verses, from Christ's life, from an Old Testament law, an image that came to my mind about God's ear that doesn't have so much to do with Him hearing. It does have to do with that indirectly. But it's the idea that God's ear is pierced. It's the image that came to me, that God's ear is pierced. See, in Deuteronomy, it talks about that every 7 years, you know, there was, Hebrews could have slaves, right? And they'd have foreign slaves, and on occasion, their fellow Hebrew would commit to be their slave. Usually it was just a payment of some debt that they owed. And so they were kind of forced. It's like when we joke around and say, I'm going to have to wash dishes for this lunch. You know, it's so expensive. It's just kind of, we have to serve you in order to pay for something that we owe. And so Hebrew slaves would sometimes submit themselves to slavery to another Hebrew. Well, God had a law in place for those Hebrew, for His Hebrew slaves. It wasn't for foreign slaves, but Hebrews, when they had Hebrews as slaves, every 7 years they had to let them free. They set them free. Okay? Now, there's this interesting little thing that if the Hebrew slave decides that he loves his master and wants to voluntarily serve him for the rest of his life, they had a ceremony that they were allowed to do that. They were allowed to show their great love by saying, I don't have to anymore, but I just choose to serve you. And it was an ear-piercing ceremony. It's in Deuteronomy where it's talked about. It says, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. In the verse before it, it explains that if you choose to stay a servant to this because you love them, I got a picture of an awl here, so you don't think that an ear piercing in biblical terms here is like what my daughter had 6 weeks ago. She went up to Claire's at the mall, and she was all excited, and she got her ears pierced. And just yesterday, I took her to the mall because it's been 6 weeks, so she could take those first pair out and get a new pair. And I told her when she survived all that, we're not talking about a decorative thing that's so common among us today. This is a sign, a symbol of I love you, and I am your servant. And Jesus, who is the exact representation of God, according to Hebrews, Jesus is God, and he comes down the earth and he makes the most amazing statement. God comes down and he says, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And so in this way, I think that's why this image popped into my head of God's pierced ear, that we have a God who chooses, when he doesn't have to, voluntarily, out of his love, to serve you. I've said it a bunch of times about a lot of different qualities of God, that if all the gods on earth had any validity to them at all, if they were true in any way, we would still have the coolest one. We have the only one that stoops down and says, I will serve you. I will listen to you. Oh, we're wise to serve him, listen to him. But today we focus on his ear. And how he wants us to have his, he wants us to have his attention. To listen, for God to be a listener means he's concerned, he's interested, and he's ready to respond. Doyle was studying this week in preparation for our service, and he found these three names of these seemingly obscure characters in the Bible. I don't even know if I can pronounce them. Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Okay, who are these guys? They're King David's last three sons. And they mean this. Elishama means God hears. Eliada means God knows. Eliaphalet means God delivers. If I can ask our shepherds and ministers just spread out around the room. We have a God. It's like David was summing up the whole experience of his life with God with the last three names of his sons. God hears. God knows. God delivers. I don't know what your need is today, but I know you got one. And I know you've got a God that's eager to hear it. And I pray that everybody's had a chance to fill God's ear here today in just these few moments I've given you. But if you need some more of that, if you need a priest, if you need someone who represents God to you and will represent God to you, you are that and you have that in these people. And so, if you need to respond in any way further, please do, because God hears, God knows, and God responds. Let's stand and let's sing and let's respond to God's ear.